Good morning. Take a deep breath with me. Here we go. And out. Here we go. One more time. Here we go. Deep in. And out. Our Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this moment. Lord, we proclaim and we declare that we are present, Father. We are here to listen to you, Father. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. Your word is powerful. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you that your word is going to speak to each one of us in a different way, Lord. But Lord, we are present. And we want to listen, Father. We just love you. And we give you praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 3 months ago, I'm sitting in front of one of my clients, sitting in a restaurant. And to give you a little perspective, so the guy that's sitting in front of me is he's about in his mid-40s. He makes about $600,000 a year. Almost a million. He used to play rugby for America, for the U.S. He's a scratch golfer. He has about 200 people reporting to him at work. Got a huge house on the main line. Got a beautiful wife, beautiful children. I'll never forget this. He leaned over on the table, and he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Christo, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled." You look at a guy like Robin Williams, beloved man, all the accolades, but he was not happy. You know, I got so intrigued by this whole thing that I'm considering writing a book on this. You know, some of you know I work with leaders. But I'm so fascinated by finding the balance between achievement and fulfillment. Where's the sweet spot with achievement and fulfillment? Because you see, with achievement, I mean, if you're really going to think about it, the pattern with achievement all the time is I want to get to the next level. I believe I can get to a place of being a CEO. I want to get there. And I keep hearing too, they say, "Well, I'm doing it for my family." But if you're going to go even deeper, it's really about I. Now, don't take me wrong. Growth is important. And we all need to continue growing. Fulfillment on the other side has more to do with us. But pause for a moment and think about the root of all sins. The root of all our sins is our ego. It's I. It's I. That's the root. It's the root of everything. You think of Adam and Eve. What happened to them? It's all about I. See, here's the bad news. So the bad news is the devil knows this. I mean, think about it. Think about the billboards. Think of the advertising. Think of the 4,000 to 6,000 messages that you and I are receiving every day. What is it saying? It's all about I. It's all about getting more comfortable. It's all about making more money. Why is money and sex such a powerful thing in our society today? It's because of I. So the devil knows it. But here's the good news. God knows it too. God knows it. And he sent us an example. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You guys ready? So open up your devices, your Bibles. Well, I guess you can follow here in the front. We're going to go to Philippians 2, verse 1 to 18. So this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only to your own interests, look at your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, and even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him, listen to this, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and a depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Wow. Take a deep breath. There is so much in this passage. And I want to be clear. We're just going to touch a little piece of this. You know, in this week, spend some time on this passage. Spend some more time on this passage. But let me just quickly break it in two categories. The first category is really, this is verses 1 to 11. It's really about Christ's example in our lives. And we're going to talk mostly today about that. And the second part of this passage, verses 12 to 18, is really around, okay, now that you know how to live and have the example, you need to go out and be shining stars in this world. So that's the big framework here. What you're going to see is in verse 1 and 2, what Paul is doing here, he's giving the Philippians kind of the fruits of knowing Christ. You know, he talks here about encouragement. He's talking about comfort. He's talking about fellowship of the Spirit, tenderness and compassion, joy. He's talking about unity, being like-minded. And then something interesting happens in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And this is where it's turning. Because what Paul is starting to talk about here is about our egos. So Shoni, if you can show us that video just for a moment. So just if you guys want to look. Wow. You guys take that in? How great is our God? So think about this for a moment. So God knew how big of an issue the ego is. that he sent his son. Now listen to this. He sent his son to a little ant nest called Earth. He came and he humbled himself. He became man, became human. Think about this. I mean, Jesus, for the first 30 years of his life, I mean, he was just, it was not his ministry. I mean, it was just there. He was born in a very humble place. And when he came on a donkey and he died on the cross. Now, here's the thing. Why did he do this? Obviously, came to save us. But why did he empty himself? He emptied himself because he let go of his glory. Listen to this. He let go of his glory on this earth. There was no glory on this earth. I want you to imagine for a moment. You have two kingdoms in battle, they're in war. And the one kingdom, so they're literally in war, and this one kingdom is starting to win the battle. And this kingdom just start flying the white flag. Now this kingdom can either destroy them and kill them all, or can actually bring them in to their kingdom and give them some land on the side of their kingdom. But these guys who just lost the battle, they need to let go of their glory. They need to surrender. This is us. See, this is God's kingdom. This is my kingdom. And I'm trying to fight my kingdom and live my kingdom up all the time. But I need to let go of my glory. I need to let go of my glory. This is how we need to live our life every day. You need to let go of your glory. You need to surrender to God. But here's the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. When you read further here, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's victory. So Jesus came to this earth, he let go of his glory, but he's going to be glorified. He is glorified. We have that victory as well. It's a guaranteed victory. It's a guaranteed victory. Now, to go back to this example, so if I go and I surrender under God and under his kingdom, imagine for a moment, so we're living in a certain part of the kingdom and the enemy start attacking me and my kingdom or your kingdom. And you get in this battle and you're fighting this battle, and there's a moment when you realize and you turn to your enemy and you look the enemy in the eye and you say, you know what? Wait until daddy comes home, because this is not my kingdom. This is God's kingdom. See, here's the amazing thing. God is fighting for us. God is fighting for us. We have victory. It's not just victory in the future, one day in heaven. We have victory today. Because God is fighting the battle for us. But so many times, we try to build our own kingdoms. We don't surrender. We don't want to give up our glory. And we fight the battle by ourselves. We serve a really big God. We serve such a big God, and you want to fight the battle for us. Why? Why should we fight this battle? Listen. We could have, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, we could have gone straight up to heaven. But we didn't. We're still here on earth. We have a purpose here. We need to be shining stars in this dark world. We have a purpose here. We're fighting a battle, but we don't fight it alone. You know, and it's probably at this moment that you might say, okay, Chris, too, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm fighting cancer. I'm losing somebody in cancer. I'm suffering every day with chronic pain. Christy, you don't understand. You don't understand how hard life is. You don't understand how I'm being humbled. You're right, I don't understand. But Jesus understands. Jesus understands. Listen to me, He came to this world to understand. Now, some of you know this, but I've been really sick for about 10 years. And last week I just got diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease. Now, my body is not working the way it's supposed to work, and I can feel it. And it's been really hard for me, especially in the last week. Because I feel like my body is not working. I need to let go of my glory. And it's hard. And I know we have a lot of pain in this church. A lot of people going through a lot of pain. But here's the thing. When we go through suffering, there's something about how we let go of our glory. We're closer to God because our egos otherwise get in the way. It doesn't take away the pain, but it's actually an incredible place to be at. But here's the thing, though. We cannot live a life where we're defeated. I sometimes hear that as Christians. We're suffering. We're like, oh, well, I'm the one suffering for God. We live in victory. Listen to me. We are in this battle every day. You're either going to speak life or you're going to speak death. Your thoughts every day, this is where the battle is. And that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us in this battle. And remember, you don't have to battle by yourself. God is with you. But speak life. I was hesitant to share with you guys just about what my diagnosis is because that does not define me. It's not my identity. God is going to use me. God's going to use my story. And I believe I'm being healed. Okay? I want to live in victory. I want to fight that battle of continually choosing life. Continually choosing life. So I want to share just a little thing with you that I found has been really helping me to let go of my glory and continue getting this massive perspective of how big God is and how little I am. There's three steps. And you can do this every morning. You can do it 20 times a day. It's very simple. The first step is thanksgiving. The second step is praise. And the third step is worship. Why don't we close our eyes? Father, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, giving us a hope, giving us a future. Lord, thank you for the victory we have in you. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this building, Lord. We just thank you for the leadership of this church. Lord, we thank you for the incredible, incredible blessings in our lives that we don't deserve. Lord, we thank you. And as you keep your eyes closed, take some time thanking God, just softly. Just pray, God. Just pray to him and just thank him. Just take a moment. Our dear Father, Lord, we praise you because you are worthy to be praised. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord, we just praise your name. We praise you for who you are. We praise you, Lord, for being in our lives. Just take a moment. And just personally praise him. And Father, Lord, we worship you, our Lord. We realize how small we are, how majestic you are, how powerful you are, how loving you are. Lord, you have counted. You know exactly the amount of hairs in our heads. You call us by name. Lord, you have a purpose for each and every one of us. We worship you. We worship you, Lord, our Father. Just take some time to worship him. Oh Lord, we thank you. We come to you this morning and we thank you for sending your son to be an example for us. To let go of our glory, to humble ourselves under your kingdom. This is not about us. This is not about our kingdoms, Lord. This is about your kingdom. It's about building your kingdom in this world, Lord. Help us to let go of our glory. Lord, I thank you that we have victory. We have victory in you, Lord. Not just one day in heaven, but we have victory today, Lord. And thank you that you are fighting this battle with us. Thank you, you're helping us with our thoughts and the words that we speak every day, Lord. There's victory in you. Lord, thank you for being with us in our suffering. Thank you for loving us so much. Lord, we praise your name, and we are worshiping you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.